Now, Arjuna has one more question. So, Bhagavan has answered that question, how to quieten the mind, abhyasa and vairagya. So, through practice and through renunciation, through detachment. So, now Arjuna has one more question. Very good questions, actually, Arjuna is asking. They are very, very valid, which even would we also would say, yeah, 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 that makes a lot of sense. So, what's number 37?
Arjuna uvacha
ayati shraddhayo petah yoga chalita manasah aprapya yoga samsiddhim काम गतिम कृष्ण गच्छति अर्जुन उवाच आयति श्रद्धयोपेतः योगाचलित मानसः अप्राप्य योग संसिद्धिं काम गतिम कृष्ण गच्छति. So Arjuna uvach, Arjuna had one more question. He said, ayati, ayati means one who does not put enough effort. Ayati means no effort, but here it is can be interpreted as not enough effort. So he puts effort but does not put enough effort, even though shraddhaya upetaha, he is full of shraddha. And what is Shraddha, we'll talk about. We have talked about before. But yogat, from yoga, this is the fifth case. Chalita manasaha. So this mind has gone away from yoga. Even though he has this Shraddha, he has not put enough effort. Or something else happens, we'll talk about that. Aprapya yoga samsiddhim. And he has not attained this highest siddhi, this highest goal of yoga. Kam gatim Krishna gachati. What happens? Gati means path. Gati also means goal. So what happens to this individual? What is his state? Oh Krishna gachati. Where does he go? He has not attained the highest goal due to certain reasons. So what happens to him? Now here Arjuna uses the word Krishna because Krishna is his friend. But I would humbly suggest that when you and I refer to God, do it respectfully. You know, don't say Krishna, say Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Bhagwan or Shri Ramchandraji or Mother Saraswati or Shri Mahalakshmi or Mother Durga or Bhagwan Shiva. Because otherwise people just say Krishna, Ram, Shiva, Lakshmi. I think when you make a conscious effort, or for Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of just saying Jesus or just saying Christ, when you have that attitude of respect, then automatically your mind becomes humble. Yes, the Lord is all powerful and I am humble, his humble servant. And also having an attitude of gratitude. So that's something it's not, you know, related to this verse, but I find that happens a lot. And I consciously try, as you must have noticed, try to say Bhagavan or Shri Krishna, just respectfully. So he says that this person who ayati means he has not put in enough effort. It's like I go to a car dealer and the car is $20,000, right? But I have a check in my pocket of $10,000. Now, can I buy the car? No. Either I have to raise more money or go for a cheaper car. The dealer will say, yeah, there's a used car in the lot that you can buy for $10,000. You won't get a new car. So similarly, this person on the spiritual path has put in effort. See, one is who has not done any effort. For him, Bhagavad Gita is, you know, Kala Akshar Mahes Barabar. It's like nothing. It's not even worth pursuing for him. Not even worth trying to convince him. But you and I, we have put some effort, but not enough effort to reach the highest goal. So he says there may be an individual who is sincere and who has put in effort, but has not reached the highest goal yet. And he has a lot of Shraddha. He has faith, not blind faith, but faith accompanied by the right understanding. So does his effort get destroyed say he was on the spiritual path. He was very sincere, but some temptation came. So he got diverted from the path. Some temptation came and he started, you know, going drinks or drugs or some, you know, got so busy that he didn't have time. That could be one temptation, or could be he died. You know, he put in all the effort and he was very sincere and he was praying and he was meditating, he was studying, but at age 65, 70, he suffered a heart attack. So his life, he could not reach that goal, even though he was full of effort, he had the Shraddha, but he could not reach and he died. So is his life a waste? That's what Arjuna will ask, and he will ask in the next verse also. So when they say not enough effort, what it means is, at the sense level, he does not control his senses. And so what happens? His body becomes weak. When I overindulge the senses, even though I want to progress, but the power of the sense organs are so powerful that they take away. Haranti prasabham mana, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says. Indriyani pramathini, they are so powerful, they take away our mind. Then the body becomes weak. When the mind is not controlled, then I get all kind of stress and I get all kind of disturbance. And when the ego is not controlled, then I become selfish. So if I control my senses, my mind becomes healthy. If I control my mind becomes peaceful. And if I control my ego, I become loving. So in life, there is a nitya sukha and nitya sukha. Nitya means permanent joy, the joy of the enlightened master. Anitya is what you and I pursue in this world. And so this individual has not reached the highest goal. But say he has given up on nitya sukha. He says, I'm not going to, you know, enjoy too much in the world. I'm going to spend my time in meditation. And so I have understood this is what I'm, and what happens to this person? Suppose he dies. So they say, dunya ka, you know, there was a song, sansar se bhage firte ho bhagwan ko tum kya paoge, is lok ko bhi apna na sake us lok ko maybe pashtaoge. Some of you might have remembered this song. It's a very old song from the 70s. So what it says is that you give up the world, okay, I will try to reach God, but you don't. So what happened? You say, "Arey yaar, yahan bhi maja nahi kiya, wo bhi nahi mila. I didn't even enjoy the world, and I didn't even get." So the temptations take us away, or we said there was not enough time. But what is important, which Bhagavan will emphasize, nothing is destroyed. Nothing is destroyed. Whatever effort you have put in, and we'll talk about that more in detail next week. But any effort put in this spiritual direction is never wasted, and we'll go into more detail. So to think that if this person died, then his life finished, and that is fallacious argument. Yes, this life destroyed, but his whatever spiritual wealth he has accumulated, he will carry with him. So we'll talk about that before next week. So he says that sincere practice of this is very essential. Sincere, daily, sustained practice. Because people who take sannyas, we'll talk a little bit about sannyas today. We have about 5 minutes. About what a sannyasi is. Now, you and I are, of course, householders, but a sannyasi, true sannyasi, who has put on orange clothes and given up this world. What his goal is, he wants nothing from this world or the higher world. This world means he has zero interest. If you look at these, you know, the Swamis of the Chinmay, they have no property, they have no wealth. If you look at that, even Swami Tejomayananji, who's the worldwide head, when he was, I remember when he used to travel, he used to have one suitcase, small one, 3 pairs of clothes, 1 pair of shoes, and he had his little computer, you know, that was it, and phone, cell phone, and that's all their wealth is. So they have given up this world, and even heaven, even the higher world, they have no interest in. They say, I have no interest in even going to heaven. You know, so that's why they cannot do any charity, right? One way to go to heaven is to do charity. But they say, I don't have any money. I've given everything up to society. I have no money. So I cannot do charity. They don't sit and do puja, you know. Why? Because they say, first of all, first in the puja, they will ask you, what is your gotra, right? And then they say, I have no gotra. Jati niti kula gotra durjam. In Vivek Chudamani, he says, you are that atma that has no jati, no niti, no kula, no gotra. You have no family, you have no caste, you have no creed, you have no activity. You are that Brahman. So once they have gone in that path, then they have no goal of karma. You know, karma, yeah, they might do spontaneously out of compassion for us. That's why they say, na, swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. So they will study and they will teach. That is their two goals in life. And that is the goal of this great Mahatma. So why? Because his goal is jnana, his goal is enlightenment. If he has not reached, he will study every day. He will do his shravana, manana, nididhyasana, study, contemplate, apply it, and then share his knowledge. Why? So that he may reach that path of jnana, the path of the highest enlightenment. So that is the path that these sannyasis, and that's why it is our duty to take care of them, because they have given up everything. Why? For their spiritual growth. And when they grow spiritually, we also benefit. Because when they come and talk to us with their knowledge, we learn, we benefit. And so their life becomes a life of service. You know, as they are studying, they are sharing with us. So for them, there is no punya. There is even not any dharma. See, for you and I, there is a dharma. There is a duty. You know, I have a duty as a householder, as a mother, as a father, as a child of my parents, as my professional. But they have given up all duties and aparigraha, and they have given up all possessions, all objects. So what they are saying is that a person who has given up all these is on the path of enlightenment, and if he does not reach, what happens to such an individual? That is Arjuna's question, and we will answer that next week. What happens to such an individual, and what is the benefit of persisting on this spiritual path, even though, and people say, you know, I don't think I will reach in this life, but that should not be done with an attitude of hopelessness. The idea should be, I'll do as much as I can in this life to reach. If I reach, very good. If not, Lord, you take care of it. You take care of me, and then I will continue my journey. So the firm commitment that this is my goal must be. I hammer that every week, because I think that is the most important message that the Lord is giving us. So thank you very much. These are beautiful verses. We are ending close to the end of the sixth chapter. So we have few more weeks left. But we have about 10-15 minutes if anybody has any questions or comments. Yes.
I have just a brief question. Dharma, verse 36, I understood that Dharma means fundamental truths, but Dharma is also duty.
Yeah, actually Dharma, the word, if you look in, open a Sanskrit dictionary, it'll have two pages of meanings. And then it will say etc., etc., and still it will not end. So dharma is a very beautiful word and has many meanings. One is, of course, the fundamental truth. You know, then dharma also means religion, like it's the Catholic religion or Hindu dharma or, you know, Isai dharma, like that, Islam dharma. So dharma means religion. Dharma also means your duty in your station of life. So if you're a child or a student, you have certain duties. That is your dharma. Vanaprastha dharma, you know, brahmacharya, ashram dharma, depending on your status as a householder, grahastha has certain duties. So that also means dharma. But the most important meaning of dharma is what is my essential nature. So like, what is the dharma of sugar? What is the dharma of sugar? Sweetness, right? If it's not sweet, it's not sugar. That's why in India you get that alum, you know, patkadi they call, which they use as an antiseptic. It looks like sugar, even like sugar, you know, pieces, but when you bite it, it is so bitter. It may look like sugar, but if it's not sweet, it's not sugar. The dharma of salt is, you know, has its own taste. The dharma of lemon is to be sour. The dharma of a bitter, like this karela, is to be bitter. So what is my essential nature without which that thing is not that thing? That is the dharma. So without sweetness, sugar is not sugar. So what is my essential nature? Om. Without that, I am not. Everything else I have misunderstood. So that is called dharma, is what is my essential nature, without which that thing is not that thing. So I cannot say I'm a living human being. My essential nature is Om. That is my dharma. And that is what I have to strive to attain. So yeah, but if you get a Sanskrit dictionary and read the meanings of dharma, you'll find there are many meanings. If you find Sanskrit to English, you can even Google it and you'll see how many meanings of dharma come out. But these are the four or five major ones that I kind of covered with you.
Nothing is destroyed. So whether it's in Vishwa, Tejasa, or Pragna, it's all a dream, correct?
Right.
So we come with nothing, we go with nothing. How is it possible that our good deeds in the spiritual realm are carried from one to the next life?
Actually, nothing is carried because I'm never born and I never die. At the absolute level, nothing is real. So even this class is not real. Even I am not real. This body is not real at the absolute level. But until you reach that state, as long as I'm in the dream, the laws of the dream apply, right? In the dream, I cannot jump from the 12th floor. I'll fall and die, right? Suppose in the dream I say, I don't care, I'm going to... No, in the law of the dream will apply. They do not jump from the 12th floor. You will fall and break your head. Even though the dream is not real, or if you put your hand in fire in the dream, you will burn, right? But when you wake up, you realize that this dream was a projection in my mind. But as long as I am in the dream, all the laws of the dream apply. So we are in this dream of this world. And one of the laws is that as you do, so you shall reap. The law of karma applies. So what they say, that when you drop this body, your knowledge will go away. You might be a PhD in English, you know, but again in your next life, you have to learn A for apple, B for bat, C for cat, right? All that. You may be a great computer programmer, but when you start your next life, you have to start from scratch. But whatever your spiritual progress is, whatever you have progressed, Bhagavan will tell us next week, you start from there. That there is a treasurer, divine treasurer who holds it for you. He says, okay, you've done a good life, okay, spend 1,000 years in heaven. And then when it's time for you to be born again, I'll give you your potli back. I'll give you your packet back of good deeds or bad deeds. Whatever, you will not only enjoy or suffer, but then they will continue. So your spiritual progress never gets wasted. And he says, he will tell in the next week, he will say that this will not get wasted. So until you finally reach enlightenment, and then you realize everything was a waste anyway. Why did I get so worried about it? But the fact is, you and I are still in the delusion of the dream. That's why the example of the rope and the snake is very important. I know you have heard it before, but it's a very powerful example. Say you are seeing the snake, right? Now you ask, right, when did the snake get created? When did the, let me ask you. When did the snake get created? You saw a rope, but you misunderstood it because of darkness and projected a snake upon it. When was the snake created?
Due to my ignorance.
But was there really a snake created? No. Now you'll say, how long will this snake live? How long will the snake live? Until I shine the light. Now, how do I destroy this snake? With knowledge. So similarly, you'll say, oh, you know what? This snake is so powerful, it will continue from one life to another. Yeah, okay. Then if you are that convinced about the snake, so you have to understand this world is the snake. And the rope is Brahman. That is me. That is my essence. That has to be firmly instilled. So rope and snake is not something I'm seeing outside. Oh, there's a rope and I see a snake. I am a snake. This body, mind and intellect is the snake. Om is the rope. That I have to be firmly convinced that whatever I see, whatever I hear, whatever I smell, whatever I taste, whatever I think, whatever I feel, whatever I experience is all the snake. Even all the forms of, I know it's a little, I don't mean, but all of these forms are also an appearance upon that Brahman. Of course, it is Brahman, all powerful, which appears as Sri Krishna or as Sri Ram or Sri Shiva. But they are all a projection upon that Brahman. At the highest level, there is only one, Brahman alone. I'm not saying that one should disregard it. See, never make the mistake of thinking that from tomorrow I don't have to pray because I and that, Shiva are one, or I and that Krishna are one. Never ever do that. Shankaracharya ji, the greatest Advaitin, always prayed. When he went to a Ganesha temple, he composed hymns in praise of Ganesha. When he went to Krishna temple or he went to Mother temple, this Mahishasur Mardini, and his most famous is Bhaj Govindam Mood Mate. So as long as, in fact, Swami Chidananda, some of you have heard him, great Vedantin, but he carries a small temple with him, a little box with Shiva, and every morning he'll open that and half an hour, 45 minutes, he'll do the puja, because you and I are not at that enlightened master. Even enlightened masters, as long as I am in this body, I have to pray. Why pray for guidance, pray for gratitude, pray for love, pray for compassion, pray for God's grace? Because you and I are very limited beings, so we need that. But inside I have to know that I am that absolute Brahman. So yes, so there is, actually there is no actions. You are not doing anything. You are just in a dream walking, in your sleep. In your sleep, if you commit a murder, are you held liable? No, because I did it in my ignorance. So, as long as at the absolute level, suppose even if you are put in jail and shot and killed, actually nothing happened to you. You committed a murder in this dream, and you were caught and you were convicted and you were electrocuted, put to death. You say, oh, he died a horrible death. No, actually I didn't die anything. I was never even born. I didn't even commit that murder. But in the body level, when you commit a murder, you will be condemned. But at the absolute level, I didn't do anything. Nahi kinchit karomi iti. In the fifth chapter, Bhagavan Krishna says. So that's why I said we have a transactional nature and an absolute nature. And one has to be very clear. But all the time, remind yourself that I am that absolute Brahman. I am that consciousness. I am that Atma. And body, mind and intellect, guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. Bhagavan Shri Krishna says, gunas are working with gunas. My body is reacting with other bodies, my mind with other minds, my intellect with other intellects, but I am none of those. I don't do anything. So you have to be very clear anytime, whether I'm talking at the transactional level or at the absolute level. Ultimately, for an enlightened master, everything is absolute. He sees that one Brahman everywhere. So then in him, there is no two levels. There are no two. I alone exist everywhere. That's what Ashtavakra Gita, Janak Maharaj himself says. He says, in me, Everything from Brahmaji to a blade of grass, everything exists in me. Janak Maharaj could say that once he attained enlightenment. Up to Brahmaji, he says everything is in me, up to the Creator. So that's a very good question. I hope I was able to answer that. So one has to know from what level I am talking. But this teaching is at the absolute level. And Bhagavan wants us to move from transactional to the absolute level. And so these, so just wake up in the morning and say, I am Brahman. I am not this body. I am not this man. I am not Sharad. Just remind yourself repeatedly as often as you can. And then so slowly that knowledge should become so firm. And that's why regular meditation is good, because in the morning when you meditate, you quieten your mind and then turn your attention to who I am, what is my absolute nature. In the last couple of classes, we'll do some more guided meditations. But if you go to firstpower.info, we have guided meditations, and I have introductory talk on meditation, what, why, when, where, how. So you can listen to that. It's actually a video. And then the rest are audio talks. So we have meditation on Om, meditation on breath, meditation on nature, you know, different techniques. Tony has been putting them on the website after recording. So it's, I think, a lengthy answer to your question. But yes.
I read somewhere where it says that the Supreme Conscious, that should not be uttered outside a chant or meditation. It should be AUM, like me explaining.
No, I don't think so. AUM,
not,
Right. No, I think chanting God's name as often as you do it is good. Do it 100 times is better. 1,000 times is even better. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in your bathroom. You can do it in your car. You can do it anywhere. They say, no, never utter the God's name in vain. I don't believe that. I think what they mean is don't use it for wrong purpose. Like I use God's name to torture somebody or kill somebody or misuse them or collect their money. You know, people will say, give me money and then God will be happy. Now, something like that. But remembering God as often as you remember, the better it is. I don't have any problem with that. There's another story about that. One who remembered Ram in, but I'll tell you that maybe next week. About who remembered Ram in his bathroom and what happened to him, but I don't have enough time. But there's no problem.
I mean, like for me, explaining to you, if I reference it, it would should be AUM and not.
AUM is one of the forms. It's a shabda. It is the word indicator that indicates that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which indicates that. So you can say that, you can say Brahman, you can say Om, you can say truth, you can say reality. Many places in Upanishad they call it the truth. Some places they call it reality, because Sat, Chit and Anand. So some places they say it is existence. Some places they say it is truth. Some places they say it is bliss. So these are all indicators. Actually, the Brahman cannot be explained in words. Even the Upanishads are unable to explain it. Forget about you or me. But these are all indicators which point to the truth. So Om is an indicator. That's why chanting Om should remind you of that reality. But now remembering God's name is good. Pick up your Ishta Devta, your God that you worship, and just remember him constantly. They say if you remember 5 crore times, that is 50 million times, if you remember God's name 50 million times, you will reach. So you, that's good. So start, even do 1,000 times a day. There's nothing wrong.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.